Heavenly Father, we just acknowledge your presence here with us. We acknowledge your presence in our lives. We just ask that you'd speak and that we'd hear all that you want to share. And we pray that you, by your Spirit, would bring us understanding and revelation of what you have to say. We give you glory, honor, praise just for who you are. Because you deserve it. And I bless you and I bless your people in the name of Jesus. Amen. So I was really undecided on what to share. And I really felt impressed upon me that the Lord wanted me to talk on probably the major activity of God's people in relating to one another. It's not what I'm going to talk about, but that's what I felt impressed to talk about. And that is to encourage one another. We've been talking about the kingdom and the relationships of the kingdom, and primarily our responsibility towards one another is to encourage one another. What? Till we all reach the full measure of the stature of Christ. So, if you need encouragement today, at the end of this, I'm just going to call you up and we're going to take some time and encourage one another. So, whatever that looks like for you, you just know, nope, life struggles this week, life struggles this past week, whatever I'm heading into, I just need to know others stand with me. We're going to do that. All right, so be prepared for that. If that witnesses your heart, you know, please respond when we call at the end. Last week, how do I characterize last week's message? I called it Living Beyond the Cross. And I don't believe the people of God have fully come into the realization of what God has done for us. So we fall short in a lot of ways of living the way he's called us to live in this world, even though we are no longer of this world. Does that make sense? And we've talked a lot. If you've been here for years and years, you've heard it for years and years. I can go back 20, 30 years, and we were talking about the kingdom of God and our identity in the kingdom of God. The word says, as a man believeth in his heart, so he is. And sometimes I say we believe it, but we don't act like we believe it, so do we really believe it? We head acknowledge it, yeah, that's right, but it hasn't sunk in so much to the depth of our being that it's all that comes out of us. And the fact is that God has done everything that you need to live a complete, full, holy, perfect, free life in him. Now, you don't have to wait to get to heaven to achieve this. He did it for you as the moment you surrendered your life to him. And I think in our heads we say, yeah, and we stop there. It's way more comfortable to live around the foot of the cross and to live beyond it. That's kind of what we talked about last week. So this week, to try and stay in step with what last week, one of the points I had in how we live in the kingdom of God was to live by the Spirit of God. So that's what I'm going to talk about today. And really, I'm just going to let the Word speak for itself because I think the Word does a really good job of speaking for itself. And often if we talk too much in it, we miss what it's really trying to say. Which is why I open with prayer for God to show us what God wants to show us. And for you to hear what God wants you to hear. Because that's really all you need. You don't need the rest. That's just all like window dressing, you know. So, God, he's really awesome because he's going to speak to you what you need. And the person next to you may get something slightly different, but that's what they need. And the person over here may get slightly something different, but that's what they need. But the person up here just said the same thing. Okay? So God has made us free, but I'm saying you guys are all free to receive from God what God wants you to receive. So have your receivers on. Just going to share some verses. What my goal is here, and I believe what God wants to reveal to you, is not only that God is a God of encouragement, but God has given you his Spirit to reside in you, so that you can fulfill all that God desires for you to fulfill. And all we have to do is let him be him and you be you and enjoy the ride. Okay, so I'm going to talk about some of the attributes of the Holy Spirit. I don't have like a number of points for you to make this easy for notes. I'm just going to spew it all out to you and let the Lord speak, if that's okay. I'll try to conclude it at the end. But it's so important for us, even more so today, when the world seems to be so unpredictable and so many different things, and this one's mad, and this one's, I mean, there's just stuff. Life is just a bunch of stuff. It's so important for us to know who he is and to know who he is in us. You know, I said last week that, you know, the word says it actually, that I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Who is that? You know, and I'm free to stay dead so he can live. And sometimes I think I fight too much to try to resurrect myself, that it should just stay dead so he can live. Because what the world needs isn't more of Bruce, it needs more of Jesus. And if I'll surrender Bruce, they'll get more of Jesus. And that's really what we're called to do. So let's get into this. John 16:7. But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Now, hopefully most of you know what this verse is talking about. It's talking about Jesus. And if you were with Jesus for his ministry years, I don't think this would be a good word for you. You'd probably question it. How could it be better if you're leaving me? I try to put this in practical terms for me. I can't picture, actually my wife is leaving me today for vacation. And I don't see any good in that for me. I have to sleep alone, I have to figure out how to eat, all this stuff that I take for granted, right? You wives are awesome. Guys, you don't know how good you have it. And I fully understand when God looked at us and said, men, you need help, so I'm creating women. It all makes sense to me. So here's Jesus talking and saying, I'm leaving, and it's way better for you guys if I'm going away. And who's coming? The Holy Spirit's coming, and he'll do all this stuff. So let's get into some of the stuff, what he's going to do. But this principle, I don't think we get how important and powerful this is. Jesus left so we could have his Spirit. But so often I've known in my life, I've acknowledged certain things, but not the presence, abiding presence of the Holy Spirit in my life to do all the things that he was sent to do in and through me. And therefore, I struggle through my daily life trying to do things on my own when the one that can show me the way to go in everything is right here with me. John 16:12. I have much more to say to you, much more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. So what does he do? And you should write that down. What does he do? He guides you into truth. How? Because he receives from the Father all that is known to the Father. And what's he do? He makes it known to you. Therefore, don't come to me and say, I don't know. I say to myself a lot, I don't know. It's one of my favorite things to say when people ask me a question. I don't know. But there's one who's with me who knows that if I simply will lean into him and let him guide me into truth, he will do it. Why? Because that's who he is in you. I've learned to relax when I don't know. I don't have to have all the answers. You know, it's like having a calculator. You really don't need to know how to add and subtract or multiply or divide anymore. You can just punch in some numbers. I don't know what they teach in math today because you have a calculator. They didn't have these things when I was young. You had to learn all this stuff. Now you have something to do it for you. Look what computers do for us. I don't see any of us setting aside all this wonderful technology and doing it the way we used to do it. But yet that's what we do in our walk with God. He's made a way and we're like, oh, we'll do it the way I know. He's kind of like, okay, but it's like 1,000 times harder the way you're choosing to do it. And the way I have laid out for you is like fun and holy and peaceful, and you'll find rest and you'll get so much joy out of it. And we go, yeah, I see that, but let's go this way. Make sense? He guides you into truth. John 14:16. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of truth, the world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him. Why? For he lives with you and will be in you. Another version says he'll be your counselor. It says it this way, actually. And he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. Now, I don't know how many of you have ever gone to counseling. You have counseling all the way back into school and stuff. And, you know, back then it seemed like you went there and they just told you what to do. But a good counselor doesn't just tell you what to do. They hear you and they listen to what you're saying. And they will ask questions for you to understand the perspective of which you're speaking and the perspective of which you should be speaking. So you'll come to the decisions yourself of, here's the path I should go, and you feel empowered to do it. Why? Because they listened and they asked questions and opened your mind to see things a little differently. That's really what Holy Spirit does as counselor. He gives you a different perspective. He helps you to see things better. So you'll see there is a path for every situation. And one that, you know, the Bible says he'll make straight your paths. He'll remove the obstacles. There's a path he's made that's easy if you'll walk therein through every circumstance. Now, from our perspective, it might not look easy. For our perspective, it might look hard. I should do that? Yeah, and you'll find out it's easy, even though it looks hard. He's not only here to guide you, he's here to counsel you. Again, all this is who is Holy Spirit in our life so we can walk in the freedom that we have in the kingdom of God. God's people are free. If you're bound today, if you feel bound today, the problem isn't whatever is binding you. The problem is you don't realize you're free. If you've given your heart to God, if you surrendered your life to God, you are free. Why? Because he says you're free. Why? Because he says for freedom he's made you free. John 14, 26. But the advocate or counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Really important. I don't know how you grew up, but have you ever, as a child or even as an adult, started to do something or go somewhere and have this voice in your head and it's your mom or your dad speaking? They told me not to go that way. He does that for you. Why? For your good. Why? So you can remain free. Don't let yourself get entangled with the things of this world because you are no longer of this world. You just happen to still be in it. A lot of these are semi-redundant, but it's good. So he will remind you of everything. John 15, 26, when the advocate comes, who I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. There is no better testimony than the testimony of the Spirit of God telling you about himself. There is none more accurate. He knows himself better than all of us combined. And when he speaks, it is truth. When we speak, often it is our perspective of truth. There's one perspective we can trust, his. That's who's in you. So what does this do? Romans 14, 17. We all know this verse because we use it all the time. Right? For the kingdom of God, which you are now part of if you've given your life over to God, is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. What am I saying? What is this verse saying? What is it saying to you? It tells me I have a wealth of righteousness, peace, and joy residing in me, deposited in me that I can draw upon at any time in spite of anything around me. There's something beautiful about the realization that I'm a citizen of his kingdom. Someday in your life, the reality of his kingdom is going to become more real to you than the reality of this world. And you'll realize there isn't a whole lot real about this world. It's just a stepping stone to more. You're in it, but you're not of it. And what you have and bring into it will change it. Because that's what you're called to do. Ephesians 1:13. You know, I really like this screen. Because no matter how big I print this, sometimes it just doesn't work. You know, there's a reason you get more humble as you get older. There's realities that take place with you that are undeniable. Yeah. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promise of the Holy Spirit. Don't say you're going through life alone. None of you are going through life alone. There's always someone with you. The most important person on this earth is with you. Holy Spirit. Oh, that's awesome. Everyone turn around and look how big she made it. That's like cool. Now catch this. Who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory? For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all of God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks to you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. A couple things in this verse. Scripture just speaks for itself. All you can do is like highlight it. It said this, right? One, Holy Spirit, whom's given to you, right? How do you know that? Because when you gave your heart to God, Jesus said, I'm going away so he can be in you, right? He's in you. I don't care how you feel. I do care how you feel. I hope you feel good, you know. But it's not about how you feel, right? Better way to say it, right? It's not about our feeling. It's about he's in you. The matter's settled. When he said it's finished, it was finished. There's no more striving to. There's nothing you have to do to make Holy Spirit more comfortable. Jesus did the work. Let that sink in. Quit striving. Jesus did the work. His presence alone is all you need to understand that the promises of God are yours. He is the deposit guaranteeing your inheritance. It's way better than our own government's promises, who could default anytime they choose. God can't default. It's not in his nature. He is given to you guaranteeing his promises. If we really believed it, we'd all act different. And that is truth. If you knew you were a billionaire, you wouldn't whine about spending 10 bucks. Why? Because 10 bucks would now take on a different meaning to you. We don't understand in our heart that God supplies all our needs according to his riches, which are infinitesimal. There is no measure for them. He doesn't ever run short. Therefore, you cannot exhaust the draw on your account with God. It always has more for you. But we act like I can't draw anything out because I'm afraid it'll run out. He's the deposit forever. What else does it say? He's the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Why? Why do we need wisdom and revelation? Because in our own understanding, we can't possibly know God accurately. We can know God. We can have our interpretation of it. We can even think we've proved it all. But you still wouldn't want to be Job asking God. Because at the end, Job was like, yeah, even though I was right in man's eyes, I didn't know what I was saying. And even though you can say I was right in man's eyes, I still didn't know what I was saying. But he's given you someone who's in you. Why? So you can know God. Knowing God is eternal life. Do you view your life right now as eternal? I've known people that do. They just do not fear death because they've been set free from it. It doesn't matter to them. And I'm not talking about just older people that come to this peace about it. I've seen young people just like, they just don't care. Yeah, let's go to heaven now. I'm a little different. I'm like, let's bring heaven down now. I'd really like to see us be the generation that changed this world to look like heaven. Just that we have been able to communicate and bring people to an understanding of the reality of the kingdom of God and how it can change this world. And they see themselves differently, so they behave differently. And behaviors are no longer the junk we hear on the news, but all you hear is testimony of all the goodness going around. Why? Because the kingdom of God is being manifest in this world. That's who's in you. Matthew 4:1. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Luke 4:1. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Why did I throw those in there? If Jesus, living as a man, living as him, living as you and I, needed the Holy Spirit in his life to be Holy Spirit in his life, then the only way you're going to walk in the reality of the kingdom is to be, as Jesus was, led by the Spirit. He couldn't do it alone. You can't do it alone. So I threw it in just so you can understand how important what we are talking about is. And sometimes I feel like talking to you guys, like talking to the choir, because you all sing great, and why would I talk about a note, right? When you all nail it. But there has to be this reality where we move from our understanding into our being. And from our being, we start behaving. So I'm going to say it until I'm different. And if you get tired of me saying it, then be different so you can show me a better way. Short of that, you're going to hear it. I don't know anything else. He's called us to be something in him. And that's our calling, and that's what we're going to fulfill individually and together. Why? Because he doesn't ever stop short of the finish line. Got this passage in Romans we're going to go through. Romans is just a wonderful book. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Who's in Christ Jesus?
Ooh, hallelujah.
Yeah. Anybody not in Christ Jesus? Okay, there is no condemnation. No condemnation. Quit condemning yourself, feeling guilty, ashamed, all that nonsense that the world tries to do. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I don't care what you did. I don't care what you thought. I don't care if you've resurrected the old man and done all kinds. I don't care. Quit making it about you. Let's start making it about him. With him, it's finished. What's he going to say? Stop it. Go and sin no more. Walk therein. He's made a way out of all the mess that you can make. And he'll continually make a way out of every mess you can make. Quit making messes. I don't know what else to tell you. He's done all he can do. Quit making the mess. He's given you everything, everything for you to make the right choices and do the right thing. Everything. All you need to do is realize who's in you and let him be him. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. This is really what we talked about last week. You know, you're no longer under the law of this world, which is the law of sin and death. You're now under the law of the Spirit of life. In the Old Testament, it says, I set before you all this stuff, blessings, choose life. Whatever circumstance you're in, choose life. If you have to do it 1,000 times a day, choose life. Every moment, choose life. Don't enslave yourself again to that which he set you free from. Keep going. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering, and so he condemned sin in the flesh. In order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So what does living according to the Spirit do? It keeps us free. You guys are like really quiet. You know, I don't mind you being quiet, by the way. I know some speakers really like the interaction. I like to know when Holy Spirit's speaking to you. And when there's a pause, I just think, okay, contemplation, comprehension. What is it? I almost like to run around and say, okay, what's God saying to you now? Because I trust he's speaking. Why? Because he wants you to live a holy, righteous, productive, fruitful life in him so he can receive glory and honor and you can grow to the destiny he has for you. That only, no person in the world is going to do it. If it would have been done. That only happens as you relate to Holy Spirit. And guess what? I can't tell you how to relate to Holy Spirit. It's an individual experience. You know, I can tell you what marriage is like between me and my wife. Your marriage will not be like that. Why? Because you didn't marry me. You married somebody else. Okay? Your relationship with Holy Spirit is going to be different because of you. We have to relate to whom is in us. It's the only way to stay free. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. This is a really powerful verse. I don't know how many of you make an effort throughout your day to relate to the Holy Spirit in a manner to ask him what he desires in a situation. I'm telling you, if you want to live free from getting entangled in the messes that present themselves every day, you'll pause and ask him what he desires. It's the only way to live free. Set your mind on what he desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death. But the mind governed, controlled by, led by the Spirit is life and peace. If you're not experiencing life and peace in every situation, and remember, Jesus came not only to give us life, but to give it to the full or more abundantly, whatever the translation is. If you're not experiencing that in every situation, then your mind is not being governed, controlled by, or led properly. Because in spite of the situation, that's what he'll bring you, life and peace. Remember, the Bible talks about casting down vain imaginations. Let our thoughts be his thoughts. Keep going. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's laws, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh. Okay, let that sink in. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, I like this, we have an obligation. Here's the one thing that you have to do. But it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. Your obligation is to be who He's made you to be, and to be led by and to live by whom He's deposited in you. That's your only obligation. Then you'll truly know freedom and live in this world and know you're not of this world, free from everything it brings. What's next? The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirits that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in His sufferings, in order that we may also share in His glory. So what's He tell you? The only reason you know you're a child of God is because He resides in you. Why? Because He's the only one that can tell you who you really are. Why? Because the one that made you is the only one that knows who you really are. And He takes it from Him and He makes it known to you. And by that you know you're a joint heir with Jesus. You got an inheritance coming, and guess what? You can draw on it now. What else I got? I can't see these at all. In the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. So we got some awesome verses there. This passage in Romans is great. It's a treasure. What's He do? He prays for you. You ever gotten a time in life you just don't know what to pray? I get that way. I'm not talking about the routine stuff. I'm like, just, what do you want to pray? He'll pray through you. He'll pray for you. He'll intercede for you. Let Him be who He is. I know we've gathered before in prayer, and us Pentecostal people, and the Holy Spirit just took over. He really will if you let Him. If you let Him, He'll be a tour guide for the rest of your life. It's a great adventure. I like the song Lauren wrote, "Let's Go on an Adventure." That's who He is. You want to live free? Let Him lead you. You want to live free? Live in His Spirit. It's been given to you for a reason, so you can be free. I got more? I do. Galatians 5:16. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. You have a problem with stuff. There you go. Walk by the Spirit. The stuff's taken care of. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit. That word we talked about last week actually means that they have no part of one another. And the spirit, what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other so that you are not to do whatever you want. Now, what did I say last week? I said, if you're in God, you get to do whatever you want. And I also said this. You got to put these together. The most free Jesus ever was is when he said, not my will, but your will be done. If you're dead and he's alive in you, his will is the only will that matters. And if you want to walk in complete freedom, you'll walk in his will. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. So if you have problems with any of the first stuff, stop it. Okay? Dealt with that? No, that is how we deal with it. Stop it. Okay? And when you stop it, what happens? Because of who is in you, you get love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If those things aren't manifesting in your life, it's because there's some things you haven't just stopped. Because he never fails to produce fruit. Never. He doesn't go through a dry season. He doesn't. He always has everything you need to draw upon. That's who's in you. Live free. What else we got? Is that it? There more? Huh? 1 Corinthians. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen and no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. These are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. I'm going to pause there. Okay, you may have a really creative imagination. And you may spend your days daydreaming, dreaming of all the wonderful things God has for you. Okay? And at the end of the day, you will still have fallen short of all the wonderful things God has for you. And the only way you can even begin to start seeing the picture of what God has for you is by his Spirit. Because he knows all things. He knows all things God has revealed to him. Right? And it's only through his revelation to you that you'll begin to understand it and see a picture of it. Spirit searches all things. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. We need to understand what God has freely given us. Why? So we will walk free. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. See, what we need more of in relating to one another and in relating to the world is Spirit-taught words. Why? Because they bring life and they bring peace. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. A person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. Who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? And get this, but you have the mind of Christ. Do you believe it? Then you will walk free. by living by His Spirit, by walking with His Spirit, by keeping in step by His Spirit, by being led by His Spirit. I'm going to conclude with this. I want everyone to stand. Again, what am I trying to accomplish today? I don't, whatever God wants to accomplish. I do want us to understand that the Word is rich in telling us what He has given us. We need to know who's in us. We need to understand why He's in us. And we understand because He's in us, we can live how we're supposed to live. And that is free. Miles Monroe wrote a book. Actually, he wrote lots of books. One of them was called The Most Important Person on Earth. And he's talking about the role of the Holy Spirit in the kingdom of God. And he calls Him the governor. And I'm bringing this up because I want you to understand the attributes of the Holy Spirit who is in you, so you can draw upon those things as you need them. Now, earlier I talked about encouragement. And when we're done here, if you need any form of encouragement, if you just need somebody to stand with you, you just need somebody to pray with you, you just need somebody to give you a hug, whatever you need, respond. Because somebody here is exactly who you need to relate with. Okay? So, Miles Monroe says this. This is all a quote, no elaboration. I'm just going to read it. The governor's purpose. Here's who Holy Spirit is in the kingdom of God. Relationship. The governor was the guarantee that the kingdom could always have access to the colony. The interrelationship between the king and the colony was totally dependent upon him. Communication. Anything the king wanted the colony to know or to receive, he would send through the governor. He was the avenue of communication. Representation. The governor was the chief representative of the king and his kingdom in the colony. He also represented the colony to the king. Interpretation. The governor understood intimately the king's desires, ideas, intent, purposes, will, and plans. Therefore, he was the only one who could effectively interpret these things to the colony. Power. The governor was the only one empowered with the authority and ability to execute the king's desires and commands to the colony. Partnership. The governor was effectively the king's partner in rulership. You see how important he is in your life. You literally have to learn to fellowship and listen to the Holy Spirit if you want to walk free of this world. He is your counselor. He is your comforter. He is your guide. He is your teacher. He is your helper. He's your enabler. He is your convictor. He's your communicator. And He is your sanctifier. He is everything you need, which is why Jesus could say, it's better that I go away, so that He would come, so you could live how God's called you to live, and walk in the destiny that you have.